Well, welcome. Good morning once again. Let's turn in our Bibles to the first book of Moses called Genesis. Genesis chapter 37, verses 2 through 4. This is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. Also, he made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. And so here we have the history of Jacob, meaning what became of Jacob, the story of his legacy. Concerning this, Joseph is the central figure. We see in our text that polygamy leads to family strife. In our day, blended families can likewise lead to conflict, especially between brothers and half-brothers, sisters and stepsisters. Now, Joseph was the favorite son of his father, and for this, he was despised by his brethren. Here we have the beginning of 129 ways in which Joseph, in the events surrounding and in his life, typifies those of Jesus Christ. And so, first we shall survey several of these things, and then returning to our text, we shall specially examine and apply verses 2, 3, and 4, those verses which we just read. And so we begin with a survey comparison between the life of Joseph and the life of Christ. The birthright of Israel was given to the sons of Joseph. Likewise, Jesus is appointed heir of all things, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Joseph was sold by one of the 12 into the hands of evil men for 20 shekels of silver. Likewise, Judas, one of the 12, betrayed the Lord Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Joseph went down to Egypt, and God preserved life. So too, Jesus went down to Egypt to preserve life. Joseph was given divine wisdom to provide bread for many, as it is written. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land to collect 1/5 of the produce of the land of Egypt in the 7 plentiful years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that are coming and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. Then that food shall be as a reserve for the land for the 7 years of famine which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land may not perish during the famine. Likewise, Jesus provided bread for many using his divine power. And we read in Matthew's account, and they said to him, "We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, "Bring them here to me." And then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to his disciples. And the disciples gave to the multitudes, so they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Joseph freely forgave his brothers, having recognized that God was using the events to provide a great deliverance. But now, do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years, the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Now, in the greater sense, the Lord Jesus, our God and Savior, cried out from the cross, "Forgive them, for they do not know what they do." We also find it written concerning our Lord's deliverance. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have the redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Now, these are just a sampling of the 129 similarities between the life of Joseph and the life of Christ. And so we work through this exercise this morning in order to demonstrate that you will find Jesus on every page of your Bible if indeed you read it and if you pay good spiritual attention. The Old Testament is full of types and shadows, but the substance is the Son of God who came. Don't miss the greatest point. And so now we shall return to our text in Genesis chapter 37, verses 2 through 4, for a more special treatment of text and applications. Joseph was the favorite son of his father, and Israel had given Joseph authority to report back on his brethren to his father. And of course, they despised him for that. Imagine that, if your father sent you out to rat out your brothers, you probably wouldn't like the rat too much. And so, right or wrong, this was their perception. And we read, "Then his brothers went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, 'And not your brothers feeding the flock in Shechem? Come, I will send you to them.' So he said to him, 'Here I am.' And then he said to him, 'Please go and see if it is well with your brothers and well with the flocks, and bring back word to me.' So he sent him out to the valley of Hebron, and he went to Shechem." Note the son's obedience and willingness. Wouldn't it be great if all of our children responded with such willing obedience? But Joseph says, "Here I am," as if to say, "Here am I, send me." Has your mind not yet been trained to see the greater son in this, who willingly came, as it is written, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." The Lord looked, and he found no intercessor on earth, no intercessor even in heaven among the holy angels. And so he sent his son, who willingly said, as it were, "Here am I, send me." And God the Father, having given Jesus all authority, says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." Joseph was arrayed by his father in the sight of all in a very special, precious, and princely garment, a tunic of many colors. You may have heard of this called the coat of many colors. Dolly Parton calls it that. But the Bible, at least in the New King James Translation, calls it a tunic of many colors. Perhaps a little closer to the actual sense. And this is important because we're going to be picking up on that as we make our connection to the Lord. Now, this garment, this tunic of many colors, was made from the choicest dyes on earth: purple, blue, red, perhaps yellow. And it was exceptional in its ornate and luxurious design. Now, whatever its exact nature, it was distinctive, and it set Joseph apart from other men, and it set him apart from his brethren. Such arrayed, Joseph goes on an errand for his father, saying, "I am seeking my brothers. I am seeking my brothers." And what became of his tunic? So it came to pass, when Joseph had come to his brothers, that they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the tunic of many colors that was on him. So they took Joseph's tunic, killed a kid of the goats, and dipped the tunic in the blood. Consider now the Son of God, Jesus Christ the Savior. He was sent on an errand, and he brought a bad report of his brethren. Indeed, a bad report of all men, each and every one of us, back to his Father. All have sinned. There is none righteous, none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. There is none who does good. No, not one. Christ came to his brethren in the flesh on his errand. He came to the Jews first. And when he came to his own did not receive him. And when Emmanuel came, they said among themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance." Jesus spoke this parable concerning the Pharisees, and it was a true saying. They didn't want to share their power and authority and exalted name with anyone among their brethren. And you're probably wondering what became of the Lord's precious tunic. For he was given this, gifted this, at a point in time in his life. And at his crucifixion, we read this: "Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to each soldier a part, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was without seam, woven from the top in one piece. They said therefore among themselves, 'Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which says, They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots.' Therefore, the soldiers did this thing. Now to Jacob, it was as if Joseph, his beloved son, had come back from the dead when they were reunited. Jacob had thought him for dead, for this was the scheme that his brethren had concocted. But now, again, to Israel, Joseph, his beloved son, is alive. For us, we have great reason to rejoice. For Jesus is, in fact, back from the dead. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Christ brought the bad report back to the Father of our own sinful condition. But the Father sent him back to us to preserve life. He is risen from the dead, and he has attained to his office of Savior by shedding his own blood for the forgiveness of sins once for all time. Therefore, today, hear this promise. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Joseph, the type, was used by God to keep many men physically alive in time of famine. But this Jesus has been appointed by God as he by whom men might be kept alive spiritually, not for a little while, but for all eternity. And those who believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God have passed from death into life. And that, dear Christian, is your position in the Lord. And if he has done such great work that you might pass from death into life, he shall never, God forbid, heave you back over to the dark side. So you can mark it down that that which the Lord has done in you, he is faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Formerly, like Joseph's brothers, you could not speak peaceably to him. You were your own God, and your sins were your idols. And these you worshipped. We could summarize it this way. Whoever or whatever controls you is your God. When you make decisions to do something or not to do something, whoever or whatever is controlling you is guiding you in those decisions. You call Jesus Lord, Savior, God. You say you believe, but even the demons believe and tremble. Take good account of yourself examine yourself, whether you be in the faith, lest you be found to be disqualified. So to my Christian brethren, now, because he has spoken and acted peaceably towards you and offered his nail-scarred hand to you for reconciliation, God's peace and salvation are in this house and in this heart today. And for this, let us be thankful. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for every good and perfect gift that you have granted us from heaven. We thank you as Christians that you've given us a position in the heavenlies, in eternal hope. We thank you for our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for the realization, the recognition that all things in our lives ought to point to him, even as all things in your book point to him. As we read through the scriptures, may we continue to discern this, whether it be in the life of Joseph or Moses or Joshua or David or in any other place in the Psalms or the prophets. And Heavenly Father, we come to you with fear and trembling. For it may be that there be one in this assembly, perhaps more than one, are in the hearing of this message that has not bowed the knee. To the one who has lived and died for their sins, and therefore has not received the righteousness of God, and knows not what he might say when he comes to the judgment seat. Clothed in the filthy rags of his own righteousness, rather than arrayed in the tunic of many colors of the righteousness of the beloved Son. We pray that God the Holy Spirit will bring conviction on every heart of the need for a Savior. And we pray in that great and holy name, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll now offer one another the sign of peace.